It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you?
Well, Rena Rachel, it's I'm really good, thanks. We're just counting down the days this week, aren't we?
We are.
Pretty horrendous week this week, of full of activities. I think I've got a 3:30 a.m. start tomorrow.
Oh my goodness! I don't envy you that. That's even earlier than us.
No. There's a few cultural changes that I'd like to make with Mana Whenua. One of them is Dawn Blessings, but it just requires, where I live, getting out of bed really early in the morning. But this is opening, some of the new stuff down for the America's Cup, and of course this week the Christmas races start, so I think we're all kind of eager to see how Team New Zealand's boat is going to match up with the three challengers. So we'll get a clearer picture of that this week, but things of course can change. But that's going to be a summer of racing, along with a whole lot of other things that will make Auckland really exciting. So really looking forward to the summer and getting around, and of course a whole lot of us will be staying in the Auckland region. We won't be going overseas, so lots of things to do and see, and I'm really looking forward to the summertime and all of those beaches and parks and events that we're running.
We are very lucky in Tāmaki Makaurau that we do have the most incredible backyard. We did mention this a couple of weeks ago when we spoke with you about taking care of our Cody parks, for example, and the beaches as well. But I did just want to talk a little bit about something that's popped up in the news recently, which is some of this vandalism that we've seen in the last year in the Cody parks. And I guess what to be mindful of when you are out and about, and also, taking care of these spaces. We need them for generations, not just for now. What is the council's response to the vandalism that's been happening?
Well, it's incredibly frustrating and really angry about those irresponsible few people that can do so much damage. What we've seen over months really is ripped fencing, stolen and damaged cameras and signs, even people stealing the spray guns and the brushes that we use in the hygiene stations. And, not only is that, it's pathetic really, but it puts our kauri forests at risk, and it diverts the attention of our staff from getting on and doing the job that they need to be doing to repairing the damage. And, probably over $100,000 worth of damage, including, something like 60 signs in the Waitakere Ranges have been smashed or stolen. And, it's really something that it's a total waste of our staff's time and money, and creates risk for the environment. So obviously we do what we can to try to find out who's responsible for these things, but our call to the public really is to say, if you witness anything happening like that, please contact us at council, report it to us, report it to the police, and the sooner we can get on top of the individuals that are doing that, the better off we'll all be.
In previous summers, we've had Cody Dieback ambassadors sort of situated at some of the bigger tracks out west. What are we seeing this year? Is that going to be a program that's still rolled out to help educate and just keep the tracks safe, I guess?
Yeah, I think there'll probably be a fewer of the ambassadors than we had last time, simply because of the financial situation we're in. So we've had to make some cutbacks there. What we haven't cut back on is, of course, the work that we're doing in reopening the tracks after making them safe from the viewpoint of Kauri Dieback. So in time for summer, we've got 11 new tracks that have opened or are opening at the moment, and more tracks on top of that. So I think we've done something like 60 kilometres of track, which is really good. And, the tracks are safer, they're better to walk on, but most importantly, they're safer in terms of not transmitting Kauri Dieback, because, the mud has been replaced with, elevating the tracks and making sure that the risk of transmission of the Kauri Dieback disease is much less than it was before. So some great things happening there, and, those walks will be really popular over the summer, as they always are.
Yes, and I guess the main message is to just be mindful where you walk as well.
Yeah, don't go off the beaten track, literally. You know, it's always tempting to say, oh, look, I'd like to take a wander over and see that tree or this tree or whatever. But the risk of kauri dieback is as great as ever. You know, we're doing what we can to treat the trees. We've got, you know, something that delays the damage done by the disease but doesn't prevent it. And we've got the new tracks. But most of all, you know, the hygiene stations, in the old days it was easy to walk around them. Now the new hygiene stations on the tracks that I've walked are, you know, you can't get around them. It's a reminder, go and make, before you leave home, actually, clean your shoes. But when you go in there, spray your shoes, and when you come out, spray your shoes as well. That really does help. You know, we had a very high rate of infection spread. And when you lose a 300, 400, 500-year-old kauri, you're never going to get them back in our lifetime or for generations to come. So we really need to be careful about the way that we treat our iconic trees.
Now, I just wanted to talk about something that we didn't get time to talk about in previous chats that we've had across this month, and that was back on the 3rd of December was the International Day of Persons with Disabilities, which is marked by the United Nations. And I wanted to know a little bit about what the council does. I know there is an advisory panel on how people with disabilities are, you know, able to access the city, and a back and forth conversation going on there. But I wanted to know, how has COVID this year informed the responses of that advisory panel to the way that our city functions for people with disabilities?
Yeah, well, COVID just adds another barrier for all of us, actually, but for people with disabilities, they already face many, many barriers. So we've got a range of five or six what we call demographic panels, and they are panels representing groups within the community that might not always find it easy to have their voice heard. And one of those panels is the disability panel. And we reappoint them every 3 years. We have they've had now two meetings of the new term with six new members and three returning from the previous term. And these are people that have got lived experience with disability. So they understand how different things, day-to-day things around the city might impact on them, how COVID might affect them disproportionately. And they've been really active in issues like, I mean, the one that springs first to mind is universal access. We don't build our houses with those with disabilities in mind. So most houses that are built aren't fit for living in terms of people with disabilities. And then if you've got to retrofit a home, it's hugely, hugely expensive. Whereas if you build in, you know, the wider doorways or the ramp going into the house at the start of the building process, it's much, much cheaper. So we've been working with our disability panel and trying to encourage government, actually, to bring in universal design so that we can cater for people with disabilities, because, you know, I think it's one in four or one in five people suffer from a disability. And as we have an ageing population, more and more people will need accommodation and means of getting around the city that are specific to their particular disability. So, you know, part of what our goal of council is to be to have an inclusive city, and that means not just in terms of faiths and ethnicities and socioeconomic backgrounds, but it also means people that do work with disabilities, and we need to design a city that is more accessible and more welcoming for them.
And a last thing I just wanted to touch base on before we say goodbye for the rest of the year is COVID, of course. We want to make sure that we're safe over the Christmas period. Anything that the council is doing in particular to ensure that that's happening, or is it a reinforcing of what we've already got in place?
It's really a reinforcing. You know, I'm counting down the days and thinking, please God, no more community transmission just before Christmas. Christmas is a special time for so many of us, whether we're religious or not religious. It's a time when we like to get together with our families and our friends. And, you know, one of the inevitable things that happens, because we've done so well in curbing the spread of COVID, we become just a little bit complacent about it. So it's that constant reminder of the things that we need to do. And, you know, just looking at what's happening in the States at the moment with Thanksgiving, and everybody said, look, that's going to lead to a greater spread of community transmission. And I think the death rate at the yesterday was a record level of 3,300 people died. And while we don't have transmission here at the moment and we're working hard to prevent it coming, we just need to make sure all of us play the role. So, you know, it's I'm going to repeat it. Wash your hands, scan your QR codes, turn on your Bluetooth tracing on your COVID tracer app. And if you're feeling unwell, stay at home, get advice about getting a COVID-19 test. We have got vaccines on the way. They'll start to arrive, I think, at the end of the first quarter of next year. But there's a lot of time and a lot of damage that could be done if we had a further outbreak of community transmission. So, you know, look, enjoy the fact we are at the moment COVID-free in terms of community transmission, but still please take those precautions and get behind the government's Make Summer Unstoppable campaign, which is to remind all New Zealanders about the actions that we all need to take to keep each other safe. And if you're a business, put up those QR code posters, invite your customers to scan, because you just look at the figures and fewer people are scanning at the moment because, you know, we're thinking, oh, well, we're on top of it, it's okay. So let's, you know, Christmas is the season for giving, but the one thing we don't want to give or receive is COVID-19. So please take those precautions, everybody. And can I take the opportunity to wish everybody on BFM a fantastic Christmas, a Christmas of joy, of peace, of getting together with family and friends, putting this year behind us. It's been a bad year in some ways, a good year in other ways. We got rid of President Trump, although he doesn't realise it yet. Look, let's make the most of having that break and a fantastic period of the year for all of us.
Fantastic. And a Merry Christmas and a lovely break to you too, Phil. We'll talk to you again in the new year. Thank you for all your contributions to the show this year.
It's been a real pleasure and look forward to catching up with you probably sometime around the middle of January, I hope.
Fantastic. That sounds great. We'll see you then.
Okay, Rachel. All the best. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Thank you.